Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, heterosexual, anti-choice talk show host. I paid you $6, right? We're even? All right, we're even. I paid the producer $6, so we're even. Anti-choice talk show host, 1-800-836-9278. You know the mouth of the South? Who's the mouth of the South? Ted Turner, founder of CNN. And he's now stepped down from AOL, Time Warner. He was their vice chairman. And he wants the Atlanta Braves back and CNN back. But he was speaking to Mike Wallace for 60 Minutes, too. And he said, I know what I'm having them put on my tombstone. I have nothing more to say except to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, that's not what he said, but that's if we're going to make it accurate. See, whatever's on a tombstone should be accurate, right? And if he says, I have nothing more to say, see, that was, even there, that was his dig against Christians. Ted Turner just hates Christians. And he's been very vocal about that he hates Christians. And when he's saying, when you're dead, it's over. That's it. It's done. It's finished with. And there is no God. Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead. There's no resurrection. There's no hope beyond the grave. This is it. So I know what I'm having them put on my tombstone. I have nothing more to say. However, the Apostle Paul tells us that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So to be accurate, now I don't think anyone will go to the cemetery and scrawl the completion of the statement in order to make it accurate. You know, Ted Turner being a journalist, they always strive for accuracy. I have nothing more to say except to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's coming. Boy, I'm looking forward to that. That'll be interesting. You know, I enjoyed what a federal judge said when he was sentencing the shoe bomber, Richard Reed. Oh, brother. The guy tries to blow up a plane, attempted murder, terrorism, and all he gets is life in prison. That's just pathetic. And terrorist wannabes around the world are now shaking in fear that they might get caught by America, and they might end up having to watch cable TV and play basketball and softball. What, surf the internet? Could they do that now in federal prisons? Oh, only from the law library? Certainly they have their own TV and VCR. Well, I guess they don't have VCRs anymore. They probably have DVDs and stereos and headsets. I knew a guy who had a jewelry hobby in a federal prison, and he put in a requisition for a torch so he could make his jewelry, and they turned it down, and he appealed it to the administration of the prison, and they overruled the previous decision. They allowed him to have a torch in his cell. That's a funny story. That guy, he was in jail for drugs. He was a drug dealer. And he told me that story. It was a funny story. Well, anyway, this federal judge who sentenced the shoe bomber, William Young, the judge, he said, you see that flag, Mr. Reed? That's the flag of the United States of America. That flag will fly there long after this is all forgotten. That was pretty cool. I do like that. I have to confess I like that. You know, the anti-war crowd and the anti-globalism crowd, whatever that means, and the anti-capitalism crowd that protest, and the generally the left, they really appear to have a hatred for America. And I love this country, even though it's so corrupt and we do so many evil things. I still love this country. Just like someone who grows up in a family and the family is all messed up. The parents are losers and they live in filth and whatever the disaster some kids grow up in. And if they're healthy, as they grow up, they could recognize how dysfunctional and even perhaps how corrupt or evil their parents are, but they could still have a love for them. Dad, you're such a loser. You're so destructive, but I love you and I want you to change. That'd be a healthy person growing up, recognizing what's wrong. Maybe I've got an alcoholic parent. My home is dysfunctional. I recognize what's wrong with it, and I love my family, and I want it to get better. So that's a good descent. When you love your country, but you could certainly despise what it's doing if it's doing something bad enough. 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. How about Brittany Pears? What's her name? Brittany Pears? She said about the Sundance Film Festival, this is in Time Magazine. She said, Sundance is weird. The movies are weird. You actually have to think about them when you watch them. Now, that's some genius we've got there. Idol of pop culture. She's not an idol anymore, right? She's too old now. Yeah, we've been to the Sundance Lodge. It's at Robert Redford's place in the mountains in Utah. Southeast of Salt Lake City. But not during the film festival. So, all right, let's see here. Okay, now, did you get the details on our military operation last week in Afghanistan? It was America's largest military operation in about the last year. And what happened was apparently about 60 or more members of Al-Qaeda and the Taliban were in a stronghold up in the mountains in caves. And a soldier at a roadblock was real panicky. And he tipped off basically U.S. troops, figured something was up, and it ended up a firefight. And our troops searched all the caves that they could find in this one region, the Adi Gar Mountains near Kandahar. And I'll tell you what they found. It's interesting, and what happened to the 60 rebels. Listener-supported radio right here on Bob and Yurt Live. Our phone number you can use not only to call in, but if you'd like to order some of our materials. For example, we have a manuscript, an unpublished manuscript that sold a few thousand copies called The Plot. The Plot is an overview of the whole Bible. And if you think about it, with any story, the overview of the story is foundational for understanding each of the chapters, each of the details. And that's what the Plot manuscript does, 330 pages. It's $49.95 plus shipping and handling and a money-back guarantee. Wow, that's pretty cool. And if you're not into reading, not everybody likes to read. Some people learn differently. Some people like to listen. We have this on audio tape, the Plot album. You could get the Plot, the overview of the Bible, 6 tapes. About what, 5.5, 6 hours for $32.95, and follow that up with the Tree album. Another 6 tapes, the Tree of the Knowledge of Good and Evil. Whatever happened to that tree? What was the legacy of that tree? Why did this mess all start at that tree? Boy, these albums have also been, for Bob and Yurt Live, they've been among our bestsellers of all time. And on all of our materials, we offer a money-back guarantee. Because if you don't love it, if you don't learn a lot about the Bible, about life, about yourself, then, you know, feel free to let us know. We'll give you your money back. But we hope that you'll like it. Call us 1-800-8-NYARDS, 800-836-9278. Now, did I get that in under the wire, that phone number? Oh, cool. Because that's a hard break right there. Now, this part of the break is for people listening in on the internet. On the internet. And so we could be more informal in chat. In fact, hey, some of you guys on the internet, you should call in and tell the call screener during some show. You know, we do the shows 9 o'clock Eastern time, 9 p.m. You should call in and say, hey, I'd like to talk just during the internet break. That would be fun, wouldn't it? I'd like to talk during the internet break. So for those of you on the web, we have a new volunteer who's going to help us build our e-commerce store. And his name is Joe. He's on the East Coast, and we're excited about that. Welcome back, Bob and Yurt Live, 1-800-836-9278. Okay, so this battle in the mountains outside of Kandahar last week, our troops searched the more than 160 caves that honeycomb this Adi Garh area, and they found six large arms depots. Arms caches, arms storage areas for the public school teachers tuning in, and food supplies. And according to a U.S. military spokesman, that they can tell that there was a guerrilla force there using the area as a long-term staging post. And that's cool that we found it. So the battle began, and for 36 hours, we had helicopters and bombers, even B-2 bombers, that just pummeled the area. And what we know so far is that 22 of the 60 or more, were killed, and 13 were captured. So that's 35, and that's apparently just half or just over half. So that's pretty good, And troops are still pursuing rebels who had scrambled into the rocks. So, good update in Afghanistan. Wherever Taliban or Al-Qaeda terrorists show their ugly faces, we need to kill them. Hunt them down and kill them in Christian love. We need to do that in Christian love. But, that's how we'll win the war on terrorism, not by building daycare centers for women in burqas, as one Democratic lawmaker suggested up in Washington. All right, let's go to the phones. In Golden, Colorado, Myron, speak your mind.
Hi, thanks for your show.
You're welcome, sir.
And I heard a little description last night. It's a kind of a news show with Christ, and I like that.
Oh, cool.
And I missed the first few minutes, so I hope you didn't cover this, but I heard this afternoon that Saddam Hussein's top bodyguard defected to Israel. Have you heard that?
Yeah, I have heard that, and we were actually waiting for more confirmation, but the story is beginning to get some play. It was on the Drudge Report. When was that? It was on the Drudge Report last weekend.
Oh, last weekend.
Yeah.
I just heard it today, and I thought, you know, this is big news, kind of.
It is huge news. Let's tell the audience about this. Apparently, the Mossad, Israel's secret service,
yes,
or CIA, they smuggled this guy and his family out of Iraq, and he was one of Saddam's senior bodyguards, and he has given specifics about underground bunkers, underground tunnels, how to get in them, The one tunnel entrance is in Saddam's cousin's home in Baghdad, about missile caches and chemical weapons, a lot of specifics, which is, this is potentially the smoking gun. Not that we need a smoking gun. The whole government over there is a smoking gun. But perhaps this is enough to silence the opposition.
And then, too, what I had heard is that it was kind of maybe starting to crumble from within. I mean, this is maybe starting to break things up. I heard he was the senior person. If it starts to crumble from within, I'm wondering if that might happen before we would have to invade it.
Well, that would be great. That would be good.
And then I saw Daffy Gaddafi, known as Muammar Gaddafi.
Daffy Gaddafi, yeah.
He was in the news again saying something about, you know, he's going to settle this thing. So maybe he's offering again Sodom to go over there. And it looks like, to me, I just kind of have this feeling that maybe we're not going to have to invade.
There was a report about 2 months ago that Saddam Hussein had funneled $1 billion to Gaddafi for Saddam and his family and a few key people to take refuge after the war under Gaddafi's protection. So that could, of course, happen. He could go into exile before hostilities broke out and perhaps avert this. But how about also what the bodyguard said, which was so interesting? He described what Saddam's life is like, and he said a number of Saddam's generals and so many people in the government that are supposedly loyal to him and close to him, for the most part, none of those people have access to Saddam Hussein. They don't even know where he lives. Or they don't even know where he is at any given moment. They have codes and cell phones that they could reach Saddam's inner circle, which is only a couple people, only a few people.
That's almost the way it would have to be. It would be quite a life. I mean, kind of miserable, I would think.
The bodyguard said even Tariq Aziz, Saddam's foreign minister, even he is searched for weapons before he comes into a room that Saddam Hussein is in, and that Saddam carries guns on him at all times unless a bodyguard or one of his sons turns on him. And he has buttons like on his desks and on his bed that he could push, panic buttons that would bring bodyguards in if he feels that he's under attack.
Yeah, I can imagine. And I was thinking this fellow that defected today, I mean, he probably had maybe an opportunity to kill him, but maybe it's so tight over there, and maybe he would have gotten killed himself had he done something like that.
I think the paper that broke the story with the most detail was Australia's Herald News.
Wow.
And they had a photo of the bodyguard and Saddam both swimming in the Tigris River. And the bodyguard was maybe 4 feet behind Saddam in the water. That's paranoia.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting once this thing is over to find out some of the details, like you just mentioned, about how his life is and actually what all is in that country.
Yeah, and he's guilty, you know, of attempted genocide. He is, you know, the liberals were all for America going into Kosovo. But Saddam has been responsible for over a million people, the deaths of over a million people. And he's a brutal murderer, thug. George Bush, in his State of the Union address, pointed out the torture. He'll take an official in his government that he disagrees or he's mad at, pull out their tongue and cut off their tongue. He'll rape the wives or daughters of his enemies. One of his generals got a letter from a defector, and on the basis of the reception of the letter, he had the general killed.
Wow!
So that's pretty harsh, you know. And you know what's funny about liberals? Liberals don't want law-abiding citizens to own guns in America.
Yes.
But they're against us disarming Saddam Hussein, a mass murderer.
Yeah, well, there's nothing funny about those folks. I just, the more I learn about them, I just, I don't understand them and I kind of despise them. And
yeah, well, right, liberals. It's not that they're just confused. It's that they're truly against what's right.
And you mentioned something a little earlier, and I've kind of used that word myself kind of hesitantly, that maybe they're un-American. I mean, it's hard to say, but it almost seems that way.
Well, some are. Not all liberals.
Well, no.
Right, but a good chunk of them. And a lot of the hatred, there's a lot of self-hatred, and the hatred of white men is blatant in our culture, right? Among those who say you shouldn't be a racist, you shouldn't be a sexist, but white men are the source of all the world's problems.
Yeah.
That's a typical liberal position.
If you have to move on, that's fine. Otherwise, I had a comment about end times prophecy.
Go ahead. Make your last comment, and then we'll be going to Goshen soon, to Galen. But go ahead.
And I'm not exactly sure what your viewpoint is, but I kind of tend to favor pre-trib rapture, hopefully soon. But even if a secular person, doesn't believe any of this stuff about the end times, I mean, with all this nuclear talk, you know, India and Pakistan and North Korea and, you know, Iraq and stuff, you know, just looking at it logically, you'd think soon somebody might just push a button and this whole thing could go up. And
well, okay, I think you're sort of blending two things together, some current events and Bible prophecy. And Christians have done that for 2,000 years. And for 2,000 years, so far, they've been wrong every time, right? At the turn of the millennium in 996 A.D., and the Black Plague was decimating Europe, and Halley's Comet went overhead, and they saw pestilence and signs in the sky, and it was 1,000 years after Christ, and it was going to be the end. And every century, every war, every alliance is either the Antichrist or the harlot or the 10 toes of Daniel. So I think generally we're wrong. Well, we have been wrong.
That's true.
Consistently. And unbelievers sometimes keep score.
Yeah.
And they notice that Christians said, you know, that the League of Nations was the end. And then the UN was the end. And World War II was the end. And the Gulf War was the end. And you could make a list that's longer than your arm of what was the end, and it hasn't been. So we're very careful. We deal with those topics at Denver Bible Church.
Mm-hmm.
Myron, I have the honor of pastoring Denver Bible Church.
Yes.
And we deal with, in fact, we're in Sunday school, we're studying Matthew now, and we'll be to Matthew 24 in maybe a month or so, maybe 2 months. And so we'll be talking about the tribulation and prophecy, and yeah, it'd be fun to have you come by and give us your 2 cents sometime.
Well, I'd like to come visit sometime.
All right, Myron.
Thank you.
God bless you. Appreciate that.
Bye.
All right. And notice I didn't touch the pre-trib question, the rapture question. We deal with that extensively in some of our Bible studies. Like, we have a Bible study called The Last Days album, 6-7 tapes. And it's a lot of fun. All right, let's go to Goshen, Indiana. Galen, speak your mind.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you on the capital punishment.
All right, the death penalty.
And it has always been my conviction that if a person goes out here with the intent to commit a crime and they get killed in the process, they have judged themselves before they went out to commit the crime. Mm-hmm. And the person killing them should not feel bad about it.
Oh, you're absolutely right. In the Bible, God strongly advocates self-defense. Remember that story in Nehemiah in the Old Testament where they were building the wall and they had their shovel in one hand and their swords in the other hand. Galen, could you hold on through the break?
Okay.
All right, we're going to the news. Now, I need to ask if my producer, do you think that people listening on the internet will be upset if I do some arts and crafts during this break? Do you think? Because I have to cut out these pages so these notes will fit in my Bible. After the show tonight, I have the honor of performing a wedding ceremony. In fact, my wife and I will be the witnesses, and my son Nathaniel, he'll be there. And the bride and the groom and the groom's brother. And we're so very excited for them. How old are these guys? I won't give their names. I'll leave it for them to announce their wedding in church at Denver Bible Church. They've been attending for a while. They're in their what? Their early 30s? Yeah, we're just so excited for them that they're getting married. We encourage people to get married at Denver Bible Church. And not to be engaged for a year, 2 years. So much trouble happens when people are engaged for a long time. It often lays the foundation for the divorce. Long engagements often lay the foundation for the divorce, unless the couple is separated geographically, or if they are always chaperoned when they're together. If that's the circumstance, then a long engagement is fine. But in America, that's usually not it. It's usually a long engagement where the couple once or twice a week go off on dates together alone and visit one another's homes, and they're alone whenever they want to be or frequently. And they get in trouble. That's the Dr. Laura prescription for divorce. But she doesn't realize it, right? Nurse Laura, she doesn't realize it. She encourages people. She says it's wrong to live together. You need to get married. You need to wait until you're married for physical relations. But then you should stay engaged for a long time. And she doesn't realize that in our culture, with no boundaries imposed by the culture, that 98% of the couples she convinces to stay together for a long time, that they undermine the chances of their marriage succeeding by their behavior during the engagement. So we'll be back to the show in a minute. Welcome back. Bob and Yart Live, 1-800-8-N-Yart. We have an open line, right? Yeah, 1-800-836-9278. I'm going to go back to Indiana here in a second. But after the show tonight, my wife Cheryl and I, we have a real honor to attend a wedding. Actually, I will be performing the ceremony. And a beautiful young couple. Strong Christians, and I'm going to let them announce it at Denver Bible Church. So I'm not going to say who it is. They're in their early 30s, and this is so exciting. We love weddings around here. God loves weddings. It was His idea, and it's such a good idea. Okay, let's go back to Galen. So, self-defense is advocated by God in the Bible.
And do you you support the right to keep and bear arms, do you?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, I guess I'm a strong supporter of that, and also
what do you call
NRA.
What do you call that right?
The Second Amendment.
Okay, you know what? On this show, we never call it the Second Amendment right. And here's why. Because human beings have had the right to defend themselves throughout human history, even before the Second Amendment was written. We have the right to have weapons to defend ourselves and our loved ones. If you remember in the story of the Bible, the Philistines occupied Israel, and they took away all the weapons, and they didn't even allow the Jews to have blacksmiths because they thought they would make spears or swords. And as soon as the Philistines, who today the Palestinians are the namesake of the Philistines, that's where we get the term Palestinians from the Philistines. As soon as the Philistines were thrown off, King David, for example, he made sure that every man had a sword or a spear. And so righteous governments want their people to be armed, and corrupt governments take away weapons. So I'm all with you there, Galen.
Okay, and the main thing that we have going in the United States today is the fact that so many people do have arms, and no nation in the world would be able to come in here and safely take over the country because this is the greatest fear that other nations have of the United States because so many people are armed.
Aside from us being so extraordinarily powerful through our military and then our police forces and our reserves, National Guard, just the members of the NRA would be able to stop any invasion by any force in the world to this country. You're right. Every street they went down, they'd be shot at. And it's good to own a gun. It's a good thing. So I remember, do you remember Clinton's Surgeon General, Joycelyn Elders?
Yeah.
One year she said for Christmas, we should rethink buying our kids toy guns for Christmas. And I had a show back then, and so I remember I heard her say that. And I, instead of just dismissing it, I thought about it seriously. And we decided to take her advice, and instead we bought our kids real guns for Christmas.
Well, now there's another point. Our children never had toy guns. We never allowed it. It was never allowed in my family or my ancestries. Toy guns were not, because a gun was a tool get you food or protect yourself. So a gun was a tool, but at a very early age, I shot guns, my kids have, and trained them well in it. And this is the thing you teach the children early on what guns are for, and you wouldn't have the problem like we do today with people with guns and the accidents and kids killing people, what have you, if kids would be taught in the beginning.
Right. Gail, in our home where we've gotten our kids real guns, we have toy guns, but our children are taught from when they're 2 years old that you don't point a gun at anyone. And our kids, Zachary's five. Our kids are 1, 3, and 5, the three littlest of our seven boys. And the three-year-old and five-year-old know that you never point a gun at a person unless it's a very, very bad person and you need to shoot and kill them. So it's a trait. And I could see you could go either way, and either way is reasonable. Either no toy guns, but if you do have toy guns, you better teach the kids how to use them.
Mm-hmm.
Very good, Galen. Hey,
okay. Hey!
Guess what happened during your call?
Hard to tell.
Well, let me. I know what a stupid question I asked you, right? And we got a call from Canada, and a family made a pledge to the show of $200 a month, and they ordered 3 tapes, and they get our monthly albums. So, Galen, I just wanted to let the audience know that that's extraordinary because that's how we stay on the air. Hey, thank you for a great call.
Okay, and thank you.
I appreciate that. 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278. $200 a month? I'm just in shock. I'm just blown away. Ah, that's just wow. Thank you very much. Our friends in Canada, we've got a lot of listeners to the show up in Canada. They get to listen on the internet because the Canadian government would not allow this show to be aired. Because we occasionally, well, I can't say this month of February. You'll have to wait till March before I could tell you why the show cannot be aired in Canada. I just can't tell you this month. Hey, in Denver, we have a weekly newspaper. It's not one of our big papers, are the Denver Post and the Rocky Mountain News. And then we have a a total waste rag called Westward. And Westward, every year in January, they do their best of Denver. Best Chinese restaurant, best live musical, best, you know, best whatever. One year they had the best media feud, and it was between me and a newscaster at KOA Radio. That was funny. Well, anyway, this year, among their best of awards, they issued an award for the best church advertisement. The best church advertisement, and it's for Denver Bible Church. And so I'm going to read you the award, and they reprinted the ad that appeared in the Denver Post and the Rocky Mountain News. And here's the ad, best church advertisement, and now they got our ad. Top 10 reasons why liberals hate the holidays. DenverBibleChurch.org. In December, the following advertisement for the Denver Bible Church appeared in a Denver newspaper listing the top 10 reasons why liberals hate the holidays. Reason number 10, Thanksgiving is mass murder for turkeys. Reason number 9, too many SUVs traveling to grandma's house. Number 8, college bowl games encourage competition. Number 7, millions of Christmas trees are cut down. Number 6, the pilgrims thought up Thanksgiving, not the Indians. Number 5, Christmas lights waste electricity. Number 4, people are giving thanks to who? Number 3, winter lull in global warming hype. Number 2, daycare centers are closed. And the number 1, the top reason why liberals hate the holidays, Christmas celebrates a birth, not an abortion. That won the award in Denver's Westward newspaper, Best Church Advertisement. Oh, boy, I love Denver Bible Church. In Indianapolis, Gene, speak your mind.
Yeah, I'd just like to know if juries are correct when they decide to put people to death.
Well, the death penalty is valid for everyone justly convicted of a capital crime.
So you say democracy worked in that situation.
No, I'm against juries. I'm against justice by committee.
But they would be correct in that situation.
Well, if let's see, if a parrot in a cage pointed to the right stock and the stock went up the next day, $5 a share, the parrot was right. But I don't know what your point.
Well, the point is, I'm saying at that point, democracy worked, correct?
Well, a broken clock is right twice a day. Is that correct?
Well, I'm just asking you. You seem to have an answer, sir.
Is a broken clock right twice a day?
According to you, I mean, as far as you know.
No, I mean, if you never heard of me, is a broken clock right twice a day?
Well, according to you, it is.
No, I'm asking you.
I'm saying you have all the answers.
Do you have enough? Do you have the ability to answer that question? Or are you afraid because that question exposes you as silly? We'll be right back. Okay, I'll tell the KGov audience now and then the airtime audience. Yeah, I dumped the caller. Gene, his name is not Gene. He's the racist from Indianapolis who hates the Jews, and apparently he's no big fan of this show either. And so anyway, we had he called in with an absurd call, what, about 3 weeks ago, a month ago? And so that was him, and he wouldn't answer the question. Isn't that funny? So when we get back on the air after this break, this is our an internet-only break, then I'll let the audience know about that also. But you know what? I was going into I've got my co-host computer here, Al the Fourth. And hi, Al, how are you doing? And I'm looking on in our Bible study topics, and I'm checking to see if we have self-defense. Isn't that absurd? We deal with self-defense in our criminal justice, God's criminal justice seminar, but we don't have self-defense as a separate topic in my notes that I use for the show or for Bible studies. So I'm adding a quick note here. Okay. All right. Keep him on. Tell him if he answers the question. All right. Okay. So we'll go back to Gene and let him. Huh? We'll go back to Gene when we get back on the air. We're on the commercial, the internet commercial break right now. Our radio affiliates are doing their own thing, and I'm going to ask Gene to answer that question. And if he doesn't, I'll just go on to the next segment. But if he does, that'll be good, right? Yeah, that'll be good. Here we go. Wait a second. Okay. All right. So we're about ready to go back onto the show. Thanks for allowing these internet breaks to be as informal as they are. One more segment, and then we get to attend a wedding. My wife Cheryl and I, my son Nathaniel, and the bride and the groom and the groom's brother. And that's it. It's going to be fun. Candle lit in the living room. It's going to be a nice wedding. Looking forward to it. Okay, I'm going to ask Gene in Indianapolis. He doesn't want to answer my question. He just hung up. Okay. He doesn't want to answer the question because, see, Gene has called in before. I recognize his voice. Perhaps some in the audience do. Maybe 3 weeks or a month ago, I called him a racist, and he hates the Jews. And for some reason, you know, it's tragic, it's despicable, but that's who Gene is. And so I guess he's also not a fan of this show, apparently. And since he thought he would take a stab at, I've said on the show, I don't like democracy. I think democracy is a mistake. And juries or justice by committee is a bad idea because no one's responsible. If the jury is flat out negligence, and they let a murderer go, and the next day he murders again, the jury cannot be held responsible. It's wrong. There should be a judge. God set up that there'd be judges, not juries. So, at any rate, Gene thought he had me by saying, well, what if a jury does the right thing? And the prostitutes that were before King Solomon in the Old Testament, remember the one Solomon said they were arguing over whose baby, the one her baby died and she stole the other's baby. And they were arguing whose baby is it. And Solomon said, well, we'll cut the baby in half and give you each half. And the prostitute, who was the true mother, said, no, she can have the baby. And therefore, he knew who was the real mother. And so she did the right thing. And through the Bible, the Samaritans, Jesus said they didn't know God, but he did the right thing. And throughout, you know, the Nazis designed, what did the Nazis do? They designed the Volkswagen. That wasn't inherently evil. So, and even a broken clock. Now, is Gene there? All right, I'll ask him to answer the question quickly. If he does, maybe we can let him make his point. Okay, the question to you, Gene, is a broken clock right twice a day?
Sure, Bob. And the thing is, don't you think that I answer your question, that's sure, correct?
All right, could you pick up the phone and not put us on speakerphone?
Excuse me?
Could you pick up the phone?
Sure, I'll do that.
There we go.
Yeah, I'm off the speakerphone.
That's much better. Okay, so my point is then that things that are wrong could do things that are right occasionally. A bad king could use his forces to save a child who's drowning in a pool. It doesn't mean that that's bad to save the child, and it doesn't mean the king is good. Bad kings can do good things. Bad governments can do good things. Good people can do bad things. Bad people can do good things.
So you're saying, in the case of the governor in Illinois, when he let half of those people go, or all those people go, that actually half of those people on death row were probably innocent, since the jury, you said, would do the bad thing half the time.
Did I say the jury would do the bad thing half the time?
You're making the analogy, okay, that the clock. And do you know what an analogy is, Bob?
Yeah, I do. And I said a broken clock is right twice a day.
I want to say this, that the jury would do the wrong thing half the time. So that
I didn't say that. Did I say, hey, Gene, did I say anything that indicated a jury would do the wrong thing half the time? Okay, I'm hanging up on you. Listen, when you call a talk show, you have to bring an ability to have a rational conversation.
All right.
So I'm hanging up on you, Gene. Goodbye. All right. Last time he called, I suggested that Gene, if he wants to make something of his life and not be a complete loser for his whole life, he needs to find a good church where people bring their Bibles, where they believe that abortion is wrong, that evolution is wrong, that Jesus Christ is coming back someday. A good fundamentalist Christian Bible church, find a church like that and attend it for 10 years without speaking. Just sit there for 10 years and listen and learn. And after 10 years, you could start to participate in Sunday schools, but limit yourself to one question a month. And then after a year of that, Gene, maybe you could expand and get to where you can actually use your real name. All right, let's go to New Orleans. Deborah, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Deborah.
How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
I'd like to have a rational conversation with you.
Oh, thank you.
I have to say that I've been listening to your program for the past 2 weeks.
All right.
And have really enjoyed it. One comment I'd like to make about the shoe bomber.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a good thing that he was given life.
Why?
Because.
Yeah.
And I agree with you now.
Right.
I'm on your side. I like the way you
think.
Oh,
I can tell. I can tell. But go ahead.
He may have a chance of being converted while he's in prison.
Well, okay, let me ask you a question. In the Bible, does God command us to execute criminals?
Oh, I agree with that.
Yeah, okay. Now, so you know that God...
For the death penalty, all of that.
And does the Bible say that the death penalty should be executed swiftly or slowly after a long period of time?
Swiftly.
Right. So God knew, being God, he knew that if the people who are convicted live, they might get saved. He knew that's a possibility. But God is wiser than we are.
Yes, he is.
And so he commanded the swift death penalty. And as it turns out, I think history has shown us, since God gave these commands, that people who are facing death have a way better chance of repenting and getting right with God than people who are not.
Oh, you're right. I agree with that.
Right? There's no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole is a generally recognized truth. When Jesus Christ was crucified, there were two other unbelievers who were being executed. And of the two, 50% of them were converted and became believers and got saved. Remember the one criminal put his faith in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Right. And if instead of him being executed that day, if he was given a 40-year jail sentence, chances were much greater that he would have gone to hell.
Oh, I agree with you.
All right. So if the shoe bomber is going to be executed tomorrow, he has a way better chance of getting right with God than if he's going to live out 50 bitter years in a prison cell.
Well, maybe
that's why
if
God
the voice of the church is loud enough, we can overturn it.
Hey, cool. Thank you, Deborah.
The other thing I'd like to say, if I can, before you go off the air,
yeah.
Are you aware of this Southern decadence thing that we're trying to fight here in the city of New Orleans?
Oh, New Orleans is one of the most despicable places on the face of the earth.
Oh, we have just a little nobody pastor.
You mean Grant Storms?
Radio program.
You mean Pastor Grant Storms?
Yeah.
Little nobody. He's one of the best.
He's not little nobody now.
He's one of the best known pastors even in Denver.
Great.
On a radio here, at least on KLT radio. At least.
Awesome. You all get him there?
No, but I mean, we talk about him more than any other pastor.
Oh, wonderful. I didn't know if you knew him.
Yeah, well, just now and then we talk about Pastor Grant Storms, the reformer, and the video he took in New Orleans of the most despicable
acts. Did you get the video?
No, we didn't want to see it.
Good.
And of the most despicable acts, and he showed it to the city council. And if that city in New Orleans, if they don't clean up the filth, you know, on Judgment Day, they're in big trouble when they stand before God.
Well, keep praying for us here.
I will. And if you ever call in to Grant Storms, tell him Bob Inyart Live is plugging him. All right?
I will.
Thank you, Deborah.
God bless you and your family.
I appreciate that. God bless you. All right, the shoe bomber. So, yeah, the shoe bomber would have a much better chance of getting right with the true God, not with the moon God. Allah is the moon God. All right? Muhammad, when he was in Mecca, they had about 300 gods. They were pagans. And he was very much aware of the Bible, the Hebrew scriptures, and the Christian New Testament. He was very much aware of the scriptures, and they influenced him to some degree. So he took pagan beliefs and filtered them through some biblical concepts and came up with Islam. And of their 300 gods, he said the one God, because the Bible says there's only one God, the one God is the moon God. Allah. So Richard Reed, the shoe bomber, the attempted shoe bomber, he couldn't light his shoe. Remember after 9/11, and there were some that were fearing that there was going to be attack after attack after attack on every front, and they could be deadly and all the things that they would do. And of course, they could still attack. But we said from the very beginning here on Bob Inyart Live that the A-team was dead. And a good number of the suicide bombers, the Islamic suicide bombers, kill themselves at their own kitchen table, assembling the bombs. So these guys are not rocket scientists. In fact, murderers generally are not good problem solvers. So Richard Reed, the shoe bomber, he was an attempted shoe bomber. He couldn't light his shoe. Thankfully. I'm very glad he didn't light his shoe. But he'd be a lot better off if he were to find out that he was going to be executed tomorrow. Richard Reed, tomorrow you're going to be executed. And you're going to stand before God. And we Christians, we're going to execute you, and we want you to know that Allah, the moon god, is a false god. And the Bible said, don't worship the sun, don't worship the moon, but worship the Creator. And so Islam has their red crescent, the moon as their symbol. Bad symbol. Big mistake. Richard Reed, so you have 24 hours till your execution. So we suggest that you get right with the true God, the Creator, Jesus Christ, who also died and rose from the dead. And you don't have much time, so do it soon. Then he would have a chance. Now he's got virtually no chance. Does Bob Inyart remind you to do right and risk the consequences? Right.